You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Anytime we bring up the minimum wage conversation, it becomes a very strange conversation because on one side of it, we are looking to increase the minimum wage. On the other side of it, companies are looking to spend less. But it seems as though as we're increasing the minimum wage, some companies are electing not to comply with that. I'm joined on the line by Senior Researcher for Development or for the Development and Policy Research Unit at UCT, Benjamin Stanwix, to take a look at this and understand it. Good evening, Benjamin. Thanks so much for taking the time. Why does non-compliance with minimum wage persist? Isn't it a law?
Hi, Jimmy. Thanks for having me. Yes, you're correct. It is a law. It's probably just worth giving some background on the work we've done for the National Minimum Wage Commission that oversees the minimum wage. So basically to figure out how to set the minimum wage, obviously there's a whole range of considerations, and specifically our work focused on last year's minimum wage and how it impacted on workers' earnings, their working hours and employment. And part of that consideration in looking at what happens to wages is whether they respond and how they respond to a changing minimum wage law. So these are quite basic issues, you might think, but having some idea of what happened last year is obviously really useful to policymakers when thinking about what to do next. It's not the only consideration, but it's one aspect that's really important to consider. So to your question about non-compliance, so we find that a relatively large share of workers still earn below the national minimum wage. It's worth pointing out, though, that this isn't, though that share has risen over the last couple of years, and we can talk about some reasons for that. It's not a new observation. So, you know, for however long South Africa has had minimum wages since the early 2000s, there have been relatively high rates of non-compliance. There are many different explanations for why that is. I think a big reason is because of the high levels of unemployment in South Africa. It's it's a situation that leads a lot of workers to have very, very little bargaining power, and at the same time the capabilities of the state to both inspect and enforce the level at which the minimum wage is set is relatively limited.
Mm. Some of the other factors, Benjamin, that have weighed in on this, I mean, we've seen companies reducing the hours that they then employ individuals for because minimum wage is increasing. But at the same time, as you mentioned, or as you alluded to, there are things around potentially cheaper labor being available out there. How do we navigate that part of the conversation? How do we look at national minimum wage, make sure it's enforced, but at the same time protect jobs and protect industries? We have employers that need to pay this wage, but we also have people that need to live off more than minimum wage.
Yeah, that's a difficult question, and I think that's the question that policymakers and the Minimum Wage Commission grapple with. If we step back and think about the minimum wage and the issue of non-compliance, so the current situation, as you point out, is that essentially minimum wage effects have been muted in South Africa. So when the minimum wage rises, the effects of that change are muted because some employers don't appear to respond to them, and as a result we have many workers still earning below the minimum wage. So one option would be to keep a relatively high minimum wage and direct more resources towards enforcement to improve compliance, and really try to make sure that the minimum wage is taken seriously as a policy. At this point, we don't really know much about the implications of that because there's still such a large number of workers, several million workers who are earning below the minimum wage and would require really, really large increases to get them up to that level. Another option would be to, keep the minimum wage lower in relative terms to average earnings in South Africa, and ensure that it sets a kind of actual wage floor that hardly anyone earns below, and then use other kinds of mechanisms to try and ensure fair wages for workers above that floor. So that could be done, regionally by kind of skill type or sector in other bargaining forums, or try and use some kind of wage subsidy mechanism to deal with workers who, to try and ensure that workers can earn above the minimum wage where that's necessary. The alternative is what we have at the moment, which is kind of a minimum wage that's set relatively high to the median or average wage in South Africa, if you compare it to other countries around the world, but it's not very well enforced, according to the evidence that we have. So it becomes a kind of informal policy to some extent, because it's adhered to by some employers and not others. And that may or may not be intentional from a policy point of view, but it results in a minimum wage policy that's in some sense aspirational for a large share of workers.
Benjamin, based on the studies that you guys have done and the report that you've compiled, does increasing the minimum wage result in a significant increase in job losses? Are we saying that the higher we set the minimum wage, the fewer jobs there will be? Because at the end of the day, we still are battling an unemployment crisis, but surely increasing the minimum wage can't have a negative impact.
Yeah, so we don't really find evidence, strong evidence of large job losses resulting from minimum wage increases. So the work we did looking at what happened in 2024 finds that increasing the minimum wage does lead to a large jump in wages for many workers. And in this case, for the previous year, we found some small reductions in working hours that you mentioned earlier. We find some evidence of a small reduction in employment, but it's a result that isn't really as clear in our work as the other two changes on wages and hours. So it's definitely not the case that we're seeing, you know, this policy resulting in really significant job losses. And part of the reason for that is because, potentially because a lot of employers are not paying the minimum wage. So it's not kind of moving through into effects on employment or anything else.
Benjamin, when you look at the work that the Commission has done and the report that you've compiled and put together, from a recommendation perspective, what were some of the recommendations you put forward around addressing the non-compliance aspects of it and ensuring that we kind of strike that balance to say it has to be enforced and we have identified ways to enforce it, but at the same time, we want to be looking out for employers, employees, and everybody in the value chain?
Yeah, I mean, so it's the job of the Commission to set the level and figure that out. And I think an interesting example perhaps is to think of how some other countries have done this. And one country that's similar to South Africa in many ways is Costa Rica. So they introduced a national minimum wage about 15 years ago in a similar manner to South Africa, where they had a complicated sectoral system, and then they grouped everything together and made a single national minimum wage. And they ran a really big public campaign to try and improve compliance at the same time as they introduced the minimum wage, to kind of create a level of consciousness among both employers and workers around the national minimum wage. So they had, you know, big adverts on television and online, billboards, posters. They had soccer players in national tournaments wearing T-shirts, advertising it and so on. And they encouraged workers to report violations, so they have a free hotline you can call. And at the same time, they directed more resources towards enforcement. So, I mean, some of those are relatively inexpensive, quite simple solutions to just at least make sure that both workers and employers know what the law is. And we're not sure to what extent a lack of knowledge drives some of the level of non-compliance in South Africa. But at least in the Costa Rican case, the combination of these efforts did actually work, and compliance with the new national minimum wage increased pretty significantly. So there are some kind of steps that one could take like that I think would be worth considering.
Minimum wage, still the hot topic, and still non-compliance persists. Hopefully these things change and people are paid a fair, livable wage. We'll leave the conversation there, Benjamin. Thanks so much for the time and for the insights. Benjamin Stanwix, a senior researcher for development policy at UCT, who was part of this commission and this report that was put together around the minimum wage, joining us to take a look at why the non-compliance exists.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.